Let's take a walk up to the mountain. The sun is waving by. He said he'd see us soon. And if we're running, we might catch.
I'm Peter Solomon. You're listening to Jazz 88, and it's my pleasure to talk to Davina from Davina and the Vagabonds. They're going to be doing a show at the Ordway Friday, May 31st. Part of the Flint Hills Family Festival, and it's a special show because she's going to be celebrating the release of a brand new album called Shoot for the Moon. Davina, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I was reading a little bit about your background, and I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about when you grew up and the music that kind of informed the style of music that you perform today.
Sure. I've such a history of loving all different types of music, so it's so hard to elevator pitch it or whatever. But my mom was really into music, and she was a great singer, and she was a good folk singer and folk guitar player. And so I grew up with her kind of really instilling music in me. And then, you know, she had killer records, and I just fell in love with music too. I think it's just like, what, I don't know what side of the brain or any of that, but my brain is made for it. So, and my father, my adopted father, he was born in 1902. So I grew up listening to older music with him.
I asked my love to take a walk, to take a walk a little way.
And then I got myself in trouble with, you know, Led Zeppelin and The Cure and Motorhead and then Radiohead. Then, you know, I love Mac Miller. I love Frank Ocean. I love the blues. I love the jazz. I love it all. I like good music. So.
I received your urgent message. You said you wanted me.
Hello.
But you don't know where you are. It could be miles. It could be feet.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like they're like listening to you. It would be really hard to define you as like a category of singer because you sing songs from so many different styles, and that's certainly true in your new recording, Shoot for the Moon. Can you tell me a little bit about the impetus behind making this album? It's your ninth album, I understand.
Yes, it is. Well, you're a musician. You need to come up with an album, and it was 5 years after that, and I had a lot of problems writing, but I think through all of the changes, I think I weathered the pandemic okay. But, you know, I think we came out a little nuts, and all of us a little bit. And so I kind of just wanted to snapshot that on a mixed kind of tape. You know, I'm 45, that's my era. I grew up with mixed tapes. I didn't have a lot of money growing up, so I couldn't afford full albums. So that's what we did. Poor kids made mixtapes for each other. Rich kids did too, but you know, that's kind of how I grew up listening to music. I never knew, you know, my favorite Pixie song was, you know, On Surfer Rosa. I just knew what my favorite Pixie song was. So that's kind of what I thought with this album. There's a lot of heaviness to it. You know, the covers that I chose to do hopefully would give it some levity.
Kiko and the Lavender Moon I play and makes believe nobody can see. And then he waits, and then he fakes, and then he bends, and then he shakes.
On the very serious and kind of pensive side, I was really interested in one particular track called Life Lessons. Could you tell me a little bit about what went into the writing of that song?
Diva was a rambler. He stopped but never stayed. Wanted to live the free life, but a family that would change.
Yeah, it's just kind of the father figures I've had in my life. The last verse is my adopted father, who is the one that I was telling through marriage. And he's the one who really I consider my dad. And he's the one who I grew up listening to Edison, you know, and the Readers my Edison record player and all that old time music since he was born in 1902. But yeah, it goes through my father figures and it tells their story, or at least what I remember as their story.
Can you hear the hum of the train that keeps on running in my head? It's a hearty little melody playing over and over again.
Can you tell me a little bit about Ho Hum? It kind of brought to mind Tom Waits in terms of kind of like the ambience. I mean, something about the production of it reminded me of that. Can you talk a little bit about the inspiration for that song?
Well, I can tell you I live in South Minneapolis. So I live, and I grew up around trains in Pennsylvania. I'm from a huge train city originally. It was like on the top five to be bombed in World War II is where I grew up because of how many trains were there. But I live right in South Minneapolis. And if you live in this area, I live right in Longfellow. So we have all those trains. And if you sit in this one area on my couch, this is how nuts, I guess, I went during the pandemic. But if you sit in this one area on the sofa, there's this hum that doesn't end. It's just there because I think of the train or some sort of grain, something. So I remember sitting there and it's just humming. And so that's how the song started. And I had a lot of changes in business, you know, as a musician that worked full-time touring for like 15 years nonstop, no kids, on the road, the pandemic happens. And, you know, it just kind of taught me that I could chill out a little bit more. So some of it is very much so based on how I was feeling about the music industry. Mm. So
with that track in particular, I was like really impressed with the production because there's a lot of shifts. Like if you have your headphones on, especially, you notice that the horns are separated and then it kind of goes back to mono. Mm-hmm.
Keep on moving, don't let the beat drop. Keep on moving.
And I was kind of wondering like how this album was put together in terms of, did you work with a producer when you were making this album or was it self-produced? What was the process of making it?
Well, my partner, Becca, we did it from our home. We did everything from our home. So she and I worked our butts off on learning how we could do everything that we wanted to do on a small amount of money in our home, like tons of other musicians. It was a labor of love. So she definitely helped with the engineering. We both co-produced it. I arranged it and wrote it. So those changes that you hear are from a demo that I sent. And then Beck and I will talk about horn lines and we'll talk about ways to make it swell. But doing panning and that side of the thing, I mean, I listened to it, but that was all Becca and she's just brilliant. And she really dove in. And so I love you, Becca. And it's just amazing we could do it from here. You know, it took a while, but it was really cool, you know.
It's amazing what people are able to do at their homes now. I wanted to ask you, about a few of the other tracks on the recording. Now, you did mention that you did some covers, and there's a variety of them. The first one kind of harkens back to the swing era, Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby. Can you kind of talk a little bit about your approach to that song?
Yeah. Oh, I love Louis Jordan. I wanted to do a Louis Jordan tune, but when I heard Dinah Washington do it with her big band, I sent it to Becca and said, this is exactly how I want to do it.
I've got a man that's always late. Anytime we have a date, but I love him.
Yes, I don't know how she did it, but she made that huge band of five of us sound big in that song. And I think that's really cool, you know, and we did it from here. And it just sounds live.
I've got a man that's always late. Anytime we have a date, but I love him. Yes, I love him.
It really really turned out great. And I love that song. It's a hell of a sassy song.
Yeah, so, it's great too. And I love Louis.
Kind of stalkerish.
Louis Jordan, you know? In general, he's so funny. Like there are phrases that Louis Jordan can pull off that I feel like nobody else could like pull off because of his timing, you know?
Oh, agreed.
Another really interesting cover on your album is that is the Motown song, Build Me Up Buttercup. I love that song. Can you talk about the choice of doing this cover?
Why don't you build me up, Buttercup, baby, just to let me down and mess me around and then worst of all.
Yeah, I couldn't get it out of my head during the pandemic, and I finally was just like sat down and just like arranged it and did it. And there's punches that we do a little different, but, and it's also not a huge feminist song. It's kind of like saying, you know, it's saying like, you know, why are you blowing me off, dude? You know, come build me up, you know, but the more you like blow me off, the more I'm into you. And come on, that's a human thing. You know, that happens. And I kind of liked that kind of take on it and just the meaning behind it. I dig that song a lot.
Woke up this morning, put on my slippers, walked in the kitchen and died. Oh, what a feeling when my soul went through the ceiling and up into heaven I did ride.
So there was a song that reminded me a little bit of Fats Waller's All of Me, but it's a little different and a little darker. Please Don't Bury Me. Is this your song? And can you talk about this song?
No, that's a John Prine tune. And I love John Prine. And I love talking about really dark stuff. I just think there needs to be some humor in life again, you know? And maybe I'm deflecting. Maybe it's a bad thing to do, but... You know, I love how he's like, if I die, just do this. Just don't bury me, you know? And it's just, I just love the darkness and the amazingness and the feel goodness of it. It's about dying, you know? Cause we're gonna. And so I just like how it has. And I love the sound of it. You know, Jillian Ray's playing the violin and she's amazing. I don't know if you've ever, Jillian Ray's fantastic. She has her own band. She also plays with another band called Corpse Reviver. And I had her lay violin down on it. And then with the horns and then the piano, it's a banger, I think. John Prine banger, which is crazy because it's guitar driven, but we don't need a guitar. So I like making our own, you know, take on stuff.
Do you have a favorite moment from the recording? Is that possible?
I mean, I have to say it all kind of, you know, we did it when a lot of it we recorded during not last winter, but the winter before. And I just remember having to go out and shovel in between takes. And I remember just lounging around, and the whole thing was just a labor of love, but the whole thing, we were living with this album. We lived with this album. So the whole thing is just pretty magnificent to me. Just the experience in itself was really, really amazing for me.
And I think I think the way it engages the imagination, it's kind of a trip going through the whole album. So
I hope we set it up right. I mean, I am not that side of the brain, and you know, Peter, there's rules, I guess. And I don't know what they are. So we try to lay things out the way our heart is and just hold on to dear life that people aren't hating on it. And that's it, you know? So I hope you dig it and I hope everybody likes it. And I'm already writing for the next one.
Is there anything else you want to say in front of your performance at the Ordway?
No.
No. Okay. Well, Davina, thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Are you laughing at me, Peter?
I'm laughing with you.
Thank you.
I am dreaming, dear, of you day by day. Dreaming that the skies are blue. When
the new album from Davina and the Vagabonds is called Shoot for the Moon. They'll be performing Friday, May 31st at the Ordway as part of the Flint Hills Family Festival. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.
In a